Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. The readings for this Sunday, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, I speak in a human way because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you yielded your members as slaves of uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, so now yield your members as slaves of justice unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free as regards justice. But what fruit had you then from those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now set free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and as your end, life everlasting. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life everlasting, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for today's gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Thus are the words of today's gospel. Please be seated. And this is my Father glorified, that you bring forth very much fruit. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, how many of us so sadly are content with merely not sinning? God is not pleased with just that. He requires that we also do good. We do good works. We do good actions. Our Lord told us in the gospel today that we are to judge a tree by its fruits. We have to remember that that's how God will judge us as well. He doesn't just give it as our principle for judgment, but that is his principle for judgment as well. He will look at us and see, did we bring forth good fruits? And if we did, if we produced these good works, these good actions, then we are good trees. Our Lord, he makes it very clear that he's looking for this fruit, for these good works. On the way to Jerusalem once, he cursed a fig tree because it wasn't producing fruit. And that was symbolic of our souls. St. John Chrysostom, on this idea of just doing the bare minimum of just not sinning, he says that to do no good is tantamount to doing evil. So we are obliged to do these good works. God wants us to bear fruit. On this Sunday, then, since we are thinking of these good works that we should do, I'd like to talk about something pretty simple, but something worth reflecting on, and that is merit. Because our good works, they produce merit. So I would like to take a look at that. Merit, it's a word that we use a lot, and you find often when teaching catechism that it gets mixed up with grace and satisfaction, and the meaning isn't very clear sometimes. But merit, it's a right to a reward. So when someone does something good, they ought, in justice, to be given a reward for what they've done. So for example, you're on your way to Mass this morning, and there's a car with a flat tire. You stop, you help the person, and you merit from that good action you've done a thank you. Another example would be your children during school. It's summer and no one wants to be thinking about school, but they try very hard, they get a good grade, they merit from that praise, good work. They might merit, especially if the parents want to encourage them, a little treat or something. So when we do good works, good actions, we deserve a reward, and that's called merit. But all these different examples I gave you, these two different examples I gave you, they are just naturally good works that merit a natural reward. But we don't want just natural rewards, my dear faithful. We want heavenly rewards. But to receive heavenly rewards, we have to do supernatural actions. And that brings up the point that only our Lord can merit strictly speaking. What do I mean by that? Well, merit means we have a right and justice to a reward. Only our Lord can do those good actions, those supernatural actions that strictly merit a reward because He is God. We are creatures, just human beings, and we are weak and we're fallen. And so our actions, they don't merit, strictly speaking, a reward. But because of a certain fittingness, because God is a good Father, He wants to reward these good actions we do with His help. So an example of that is one, in fact, that I believe Bishop Pillay gave here. He definitely gave it in North Dakota. I believe he gave it here as well during confirmations. It's a beautiful image. So you can imagine a child trying to make a drawing to please his father. He's trying to use his crayons to make a beautiful drawing. And the father realizes that the child is really not able to do it. So the father puts the child's hand in his hand, and he leads the child so that the child's able to make a beautiful picture. After he's done the picture, the child says, "See, look what I did for you, Dad." And the dad says, "Oh, wow, that's so beautiful." And the dad rewards with his praise this action of the child. But the child only did it with his father's help, only because the father took his hand into his own. That's the same with us. By ourselves, we can't do the things that merit supernatural rewards in heaven. In other words, we can't merit the beatific vision. We're just mere human beings. But God gives us, through His grace and the virtues and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, He gives us the means we need to be able to merit those supernatural rewards. He takes our hand in His and then helps us to do these things that merit heaven. So that's what a merit is. Hopefully it helps us understand a little better. So the next question is, well, what do I need to do on my part so that my actions are meritorious for heaven? And it's very simple. There are only two things we have to do. One, we have to make sure we're in the state of grace. If we're not in the state of grace, then our actions cannot be pleasing to God because we're in the state of being an enemy of God. So we have to be in the state of grace. And then the second condition is that we have to have the intention of doing our action to please God. So we do it out of love for God, for God's glory. The intention is very important, and I'll come back to it in just a minute. So those are the two requirements: state of grace, doing it for the love of God. Now I want to pause for just a moment because it is important. That first condition, being in the state of grace, it is a very important condition. We have to be clear, when we are in the state of mortal sin, it is impossible to merit because we lack this friendship of God. We can think of the words of St. Paul: if I give my body to be burned, but have not charity, don't have this friendship with God, it profits me nothing. So we do need the state of grace. The actions that we do, good actions that we do when we're in the state of mortal sin, they do not merit anything for heaven. That's the unfortunate fact, and we need to realize that. Now, they can merit naturally. So you help the person on the side of the road, but you're in the state of mortal sin. Okay, you can merit a thank you, maybe a card, an apple pie they send you, whatever it is. Fine, but you do not merit anything for heaven because you're in the state of sin. Another thing to think about is that when we commit a mortal sin, the merits we had gained up to that point, so we've spent however many years gaining merit, we have the misfortune to commit a mortal sin, those merits are lost. That's just another reason to have a great hatred of mortal sin. It robs us of everything. We have to remember that. But God is very good. And God, when we go to confession, gives us those merits back. That's consoling. So we have the misfortune to fall into sin. We lose our merits. Then we go to the confessional, and that miracle of grace is worked. We're given sanctifying grace again. At the same time, all the merits we had earned up until we lost God's grace, all of them are given back. So we don't start back at ground zero. That's a consolation. I also want to give you a little warning, my dear faithful, because the devil, I don't need to tell you, he wants to trick us into committing more sins. And one of the ways he does it, after we've committed a mortal sin, he'll tell us, well, now that you've committed a mortal sin, it doesn't matter what good works you do, they're not worth anything for heaven. So just go ahead and keep committing sin. What a horrible idea. Yes, go ahead and keep committing sin so your heart can become hardened against God's grace, and you can just add on temporal punishment when you're forgiven, if you have the chance to be forgiven. Yes, that's a horrible idea. We have to remember, although strictly we don't merit anything in the state of grace, still, God does give us actual graces when he sees that we're praying. We dispose ourselves to receive his forgiveness, in other words. So if we have the misfortune to commit a mortal sin, try to make a perfect act of contrition. Don't let the devil tell you, you're already in sin, just keep going. Horrible idea. So now, the next question we can ask, what makes an action more or less meritorious? What makes whatever good work we're doing, saying a rosary, merit more or merit less? It all comes down, my dear faithful, to the intention with which we do it. God looks at our heart. That's what he cares about. The externals mean nothing to him. And that's where the Pharisees went wrong. They were all about the externals, and they forgot that God looks at the heart. So they did all of their actions with the intention to be seen and praised by others. And they received their reward, our Lord says. They wanted praise, and they got praise from men. And that's it. It didn't profit them for heaven. Now, the intention that we have, it ought to be the love of God. That is the intention that we must have in doing our good works, an intention of charity. We want to please the one we love, Almighty God. And when we love God, we want to promote his glory. We want him to be honored and loved by others. This is the reason behind that saying of the Jesuits, which many people take and they put at the top of their papers. You might have noticed Father Robinson puts it in his emails. AMDG, ad maiorem Dei gloriam, which means for the greater glory of God. When we do our actions with that intention, out of love for God, to give God glory, they merit. So my dear faithful, it doesn't matter how difficult the task is, and it doesn't matter how great the task is. Those things don't make us merit more or less. It's the intention behind it. It's the love we put into it. That's what makes us merit. So we can do very, very small things in the eyes of the world, but in God's eyes, they can be very great if we have great charity in doing them, great love of God. And that's why theologians teach that Mary, our Blessed Mother, when she swept the floor in Nazareth, she merited more by that action than even a St. Lawrence dying by being grilled to death, because she had more charity. So it doesn't matter how great it is in the eyes of the world. It doesn't matter how hard it is. What matters is the charity. Now, granted, if it's tough, like persevering through a girls' camp, for example, it means that there's less of self in it. There's not as much self-love, therefore more love of God. So yes, if it's difficult, then it likely is done with greater love. But what's essential here is the love that we do it with. So my dear faithful, it's very consoling. You can do the most ordinary things and be getting at the same time a supernatural reward for it. You can be driving to work in the terrible traffic of Denver, and you can be getting a supernatural reward for it. You can be changing a diaper and be getting a heavenly reward for it. How good God is to us. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Now this helps us to understand why the morning offering is so important. It's such a simple thing and almost doesn't even need to be said. And yet, how often we don't do our morning offering, or we do it very poorly, just quickly get through it. My dear faithful, we can say in a way that's the most important time of the day, when you kneel down and you give your whole day to God. Why? It's so important because when you do that initial offering, that intention to give all to God, it makes everything through the day profit. In other words, you don't have to be thinking while you're mowing the lawn about doing it for God's glory. Obviously, you're going to be absorbed in making sure you do a good job mowing the lawn. So you don't necessarily have to be actively thinking about it, but since in the morning you gave everything to God, even that action will profit you for heaven. So that's why it's so important to give everything to God. And obviously, we want to renew that through the day. So that's why we are taught in catechism, before you do any when you change from one activity to another, so you're going from work, now you're at home, you can say a quick prayer as you change activities to renew that giving of your entire day to God. And then, as I said, everything's for Him. And everything will profit us. Except, of course, when we sin, because then we have the contrary intention. We do it for ourselves, not for God. But otherwise, everything's for Him. My dear faithful, we all know the myth of Midas. So Midas was given by the gods this power to turn everything he touched into gold. My dear faithful, we have that gift. We have the gift to turn everything that we do during a day into gold, treasure in heaven. And it's very simple. You just have to be in the state of grace, and you have to do it for God's glory out of love for Him. And then everything you do is gold. It's gold for heaven. This is what Our Lady did. Everything she did was to please God. So let's imitate this beautiful queen who is now receiving that reward in heaven for all the good works, those fruits she brought forth on earth. That's what we want to do as well. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.